Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the quarter two of 2019 JinkoSolar earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Ms. Ripple Zhang. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's second quarter 2019 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jinner Miao, Chief Marketing Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢李芳，各位早上晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Ripple. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
本季度公司业绩强劲增长，组件出货量达到 3386兆瓦，环比增长 12%，同比增长 21%，和一季度一样，二季度海外组件出货比例依然超过 90%，营业收入 10亿美金。 环比增长 19%， 同比增长 14%， 本季度毛利率为 16.5%， 和上季度的 16.6% 持平，显著高于去年二季度的 12%。 非美国会计准则的净利润大幅上升，从上个季度的 500万美金 和去年二季度的 1610万美金 上升到 2960万美金， 随着公司当今高效产能的投产和制造成本的进一步下降， 我们对下半年的整体盈利水平充满信心。
We continued our strong start to the year with a robust quarter of growth. Module shipments during the second quarter were 3,386 megawatts, an increase of 12% sequentially and 21% year-over-year. As with last quarter, overseas shipments accounted for over 90% of total shipments. Total revenues came in at $1 billion US, an increase of 19% sequentially and 14% year-over-year, while gross margin roughly flat sequentially at 16.5% and up substantially from 12% during the same quarter last year. Non-GAAP net income surged to $29.6 million US, a significant increase from $5 million US last quarter and $16.1 million US during the same period last year. With our mono wafer production capacity growing and optimization of cost structure, we are confident in the overall profitability of the second half of the year.
2019年上半年，海外市场需求旺盛，中国组件总出口量和总出口金额同比大幅增长。下半年，中国市场的启动 将成为全球需求的最大增量。 平价上网项目名单，标志着平价上网的正式实施落实。七月，国家能源局公布了2019年光伏发电项目国家补贴竞价结果。我们预计，中国今年的装机量可达40吉瓦。近期，特高压配套光伏项目开始招标，释放市场升温的信号。同时，内蒙古达拉特等地领跑者项目竞标结果已经与当地传统能源平价，象征平价上网的进步到来。我们由此已经可以预见，2020年中国需求将稳定增长。
Demand from overseas markets was strong during the first half of 2019, where total export volumes and the value of modules from China jumped significantly year over year. China is expected to drive global demand following the July announcement of the National Development and Reform Commission and the National Energy Administration of a list of approved solar projects that secured government subsidies for 2019. This was a follow-up to their May announcement of the first batch of wind power and PV grid parity projects. China is expected to install 40 gigawatts this year. Bids for UHV-supported PV projects have already begun as the domestic market regains growth momentum. We are rapidly approaching grid parity with the bid results for projects such as Dalat, top runner project in Neimeng province, coming in on par with local traditional energy. Based on this, we expected China's demand will continue to grow steadily in 2020.
2019年是光伏发展史上里程碑式的一年，全球光伏都加速进入平价的新时代，更多计划级国家的出现，使得组件市场集中度继续下降，形成了传统市场和新兴市场相结合的多元化市场。随着光伏发电成本的持续下降，多地光伏竞标电价已经低于当地火电上网电价，光伏发电的占比在技术的推动下将在未来几年继续快速提升。我们对全球光伏市场长期可持续的发展充满信心。
2019 is a milestone for the global solar industry as a grid parity rapidly approaches. A number of emerging overseas markets are quickly reaching gigawatt levels.As the market increasingly diversifies away from traditional material markets, the cost of PV power continues to decline, resulting in lower bidding prices, which are increasingly becoming more competitive with thermal power generation. Driven by technological innovation, we expect the proportion of PV grid parity projects to increase over the next few years.We are optimistic that global demand will remain strong and sustainable over the long term.
关于市场，接下来 Jenna 将介绍更详细的情况。
I will let Jenna give you more color on the market later.
公司今年大幅加快了高效单晶产能的投资节奏，在四川乐山的一期5吉瓦单晶硅片项目已于6月底正式点火，预计在今年4季度满产后。单晶硅片产能将达到11.5吉瓦。我们同时启动了四川乐山二期5吉瓦单晶硅片项目的前期准备工作。单晶硅片新增产能的快速投产，可使公司垂直一体化的比例显著提高，从而带动毛利率得到有效提升。
We significantly increased our investment in expanding our high-efficiency mono-production capacity during this quarter. This is mainly being driven by our production facility in Leshan, which began phase one production at the end of June and is expected to reach full capacity in the fourth quarter and will expand our total mono-wafer capacity to 11.5 gigawatts. Preparations for the 5 gigawatts Phase 2 capacity expansion in Leshan were currently underway. The rapid growing of mono wafer production capacity can significantly increase the proportion of overall in-house integrated capacity and improve growth margins.
高效产能方面，公司的硅片、电子片和组件的产能在二季度末分别达到10.5吉瓦、7.4吉瓦和12.6吉瓦，其中包括6.5吉瓦的单晶硅片产能。5.8吉瓦的破壳电子产能，我们预期2019年年底 公司的硅片、电子片和组件的产能将分别达到15G瓦、10.5G瓦和16G瓦，其中包括11.5G瓦的单晶硅片产能、9.7G瓦的 PERC 电池产能和800兆瓦的 N 型电池产能。
Our in-house high-efficiency annual silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production capacity has reached 10.5 gigawatt, 7.4 gigawatt, and 12.6 gigawatt, respectively, by the end of the second quarter of 2019, which includes 6.5 gigawatt of mono wafer capacity and 5.8 gigawatt of PERC cell capacity. By the end of 2019, we expect our in-house annual silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production capacity to reach 15 gigawatt, 10.5 gigawatt, and 16 gigawatt, respectively, which includes 11.5 gigawatt of mono capacity, 9.7 gigawatt of PERC cell capacity, and 500 megawatt of N-type cell capacity.
高效技术方面，公司加大力度投入高效技术的开发和应用，并持续优化产品的成本结构。硅片端，我们的新产能在设备一致性、自动化程度和可扩张热产空间等方面都具有优势。产品的合格率和氧含量方面表现优秀。电池端，基于后特动化接触技术，我们投资了800兆瓦的 N 型高效电池产能。组件端，我们今年主推的10万透明背板双面组件结合镀钒钛德拉透明薄膜技术，不仅提升了安装的便捷性，同时为客户带来了更低的度电成本，可显著提高电站的发电量。
We believe that the only way forward is to continue investing in the technical development and optimizing the cost structure. Our expanded capacity provides us with a significant competitive advantage when it comes to the performance of our equipment, automation levels, and expandable thermal fields, which perform well in product qualified weight and oxygen content index in the industry. One of the latest cell improvements has been on the highly efficient N-type cells with 800 megawatt capacity and hydride oxide thin film technology. For modules, our latest innovative product is the Swan bifacial module with DuPont Tedla-based backsheets. The new lightweight bifacial technology has huge potential to go mainstream because it was not only alleviate installation problems and lowers cost per kilowatt of electricity generated, but also improves the efficiency of the modules and overall power generations, especially for PV power plants.
总之，在行业向平价加速发展的阶段，我对本季度公司在加强竞争优势、提高产品效率以及通过创新降低成本等方面取得的重大进展感到非常高兴。作为全球最大、最具创新力的太阳能组件制造商之一，我们始终致力于为客户提供最优质的产品。未来，我们将继续以客户的需求为中心，并凭借我们的全球销售网络和团队的紧密合作，在国内和海外市场占领更大的市场份额。
To conclude, I'm very pleased with the significant progress we have made during the quarter in strengthening our competitive advantages, improving the efficiency of our products, and driving costs lower through innovation, especially at a time when the industry is racing towards grid parity. As one of the largest and most innovative solar module manufacturers in the world, we are committed to serving our clients with the highest quality products on the market. We will continue to listen to the needs of our clients and grow our market share in the domestic and overseas markets. With our global distribution network and the support teams working closely together, we will continue to drive growth in new era of grid parity.
话题交给 Janet 之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。基于当前的预期，2019年三季度组件出货量在3.2G瓦到3.5G瓦之间，营业收入在9.8亿美金到10.7亿美金之间，毛利率在18%到20%之间。2019年全年组件出货量在14G瓦到15G瓦之间。
Before turning the call over to Jenner, I will quickly go over our guidance. Based on current estimates for the third quarter of 2019, the company estimates total solar module shipments to be in the range of 3.2 gigawatt to 3.5 gigawatt. Total revenue for the third quarter is expected to be in the range of $980 million to $1,070 million. Gross margin for the third quarter is expected to be between 19% to 20%. For the full year of 2019, the company estimates total solar module shipments to be in the range of 14 gigawatt to 15 gigawatt.
谢谢李波。接下来现在我将话语交给Jenna。
Thank you, Ripple. With that, I will turn it over to Jenna.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. Total shipments in the second quarter were 3,386 megawatts, an increase of 21.2% from the same period last year, and exceeding our previous guidance. The increase was driven by non-China demand, which remained strong during the quarter. In particular, mono-PERC products as a percentage of total shipments continue to grow steadily, and are expected to reach 70% for the full year of 2019. In terms of geographic mix, overseas shipments accounted for over 90% of our order book this quarter. With China's latest subsidy policy announcement in July, the Chinese market is expected to regain considerable installation demand starting in late third quarter. The Chinese government's July release of a list of approved solar projects that secured government subsidy for 2019 has helped to kickstart bids for a number of projects that are expected to simultaneously drive domestic demand and grow in our shipments in China starting in September. China is expected to install around 40 gigawatts this year. We also expect the Chinese market to retain its robust performance well into 2020 due as a number of cross-year projects and competitiveness of photovoltaic power generation price. The U.S. market remains very strong. Prices have risen in the past quarter, which has resulted in our modules almost selling out. In addition, our order book for 2020 is rapidly filling up. We have already received massive inquiries for 2020 and 2021 deliveries from U.S. market. Furthermore, Section 201's tariff exemptions on bifacial solar modules has created a lot of discussions in the market. Based on the current policy, we expect the demand in the U.S. market to start to shift towards bifacial modules steadily, where utility sector will be penetrated first. Turning to Asia-Pacific market, in reaction to the cost of the feed-in tariff, rush installations across Japan's large-scale power plants are expected to continue until late 2020. In Vietnam, although some projects in Ninh province have been postponed, we expect the Ministry of Industry and Trade of Vietnam to release a new distributed subsidy policy very soon. After such announcement, industrial and commercial distribution will rapidly increase in the Vietnamese market. In Australia, residential subsidies of Victoria's state are being kept in place, which helped to revive the market, driving further growth in the next 2 years for all residential, commercial, and industrial projects. Over in India, the recent PV targets came in larger than expected. The government has indicated that it will provide assistance for larger-scale PV grid-connected projects, while its utility companies are also issuing tenders for all global developers and investors. With the cancellation of MIP across European markets, PV power generation costs continue to decline. With the percentage of grid parity projects continuing to grow, European PV capacity is increasing and expected to drive demand in the market such as France, Germany, Spain, and Greece during the second half of this year. Portugal's recent PV bids have seen the lowest pricing in Europe, and in order to achieve its renewable energy targets and keep pace with EU energy conservation and emission targets, PV bidding will continue for the rest of this year. With more and more traditional power stations being decommissioned each year, the importance of solar energy is expected to rise in Europe with the benefit of long-term cost advantages. We are very optimistic about the future growth potential of European markets. For key emerging markets, the private PPA and the commercial projects are driving the growth, especially in Mexico and Chile. Brazil is expected to continue promoting solar tenders over the medium and long term. Argentina recently released a new subsidy policy, which is expected to drive medium-term installation demand in Latin America. In Middle East, PV biddings have been in full swing this year, with overall demand growing strongly. Saudi Arabian market will soon be upgraded to gigawatt level, while Oman has released the next four large-scale PV biddings planned for 2020. We are the market leader in terms of market share in a number of these countries, and we'll continue to invest resources to explore more long-term growth and cooperation opportunities. In general, as grid parity becomes a reality, demand will increasingly become sustainable globally and will be less susceptible to fluctuations caused by policy changes. Therefore, we expect the total global installation demand to continue growing in the future. ASPs overall increased slightly compared to the last quarter. We also expect the average annual prices to remain healthy. We will continue to drive technology innovation to meet market demand with reliable, high-quality products. Our products were sold over 100 countries globally, and we remain the largest solar module supplier in the world. Over the years, we continue to be recognized for our leading technology and reliable, high-quality products by respected third-party institutions and industry groups. After an extensive analysis on the global solar PV market, we were awarded the Forrester Civilian 2019 Global Solar PV Technology Leadership Award. Our dedicated efforts to improve our high-quality products were also recognized by PV Tech and the Solar Media, who selected Jinko Solar as the leading supplier to achieve an AA bankability rating. Jinko Solar is the only PV module supplier to have AA ratings for the past 12 consecutive quarters. This year, Jinko Solar continued to move up the rankings as we hit new milestones, ranking 150th among the top 500 Chinese private enterprises in 2019, up from 279 last year. As a key opinion leader in the industry, we were much honored to be the only privately owned corporate thought leader from the renewable energy sector invited to participate in the 2019 Summer Davos Forum on Energy panel titled China's Energy Outlook. During the second quarter, we attended 12 trade shows and participated in 43 conferences worldwide. We also hosted 16 customer events and 54 co-marketing activities with key partners across the globe. Our marketing efforts continue to enhance Jinko Solar's brand awareness and reputation in the global PV industry. With that, I will pass over to Charlie.
Thank you, Jenner. Q2 overall results beat our expectations. We achieved better than expected shipments and gross margin. Our improved profitability resulted from lower production costs, slightly higher ASPs, and a net foreign exchange gain. Total solar module shipments hit 3.4 gigawatts, up 12% sequentially, and total revenue was $1 billion, up 19% sequentially. The solar market continued its strong momentum, and we are on the track to achieve our full-year shipment guidance. Q2 gross margin was stable at 16.5% compared to 16.6% in Q1. Our investment on the model-based high-inflation capacity is expected to generate higher gross margin in the second half year. Starting from this quarter, we begin to provide additional guidance, including quarterly revenue and the gross margin range. With our view on future performance, we believe this will provide a more transparent and comprehensive picture of our operations and future growth expectations. For the third quarter, we estimate total revenue to be in the range of $980 million-$1.07 billion, and gross margin in the range of 18%-20%. Q2 operating expenses accounted for 12.8% of total revenue, compared to 12.5% in Q1. The percentage is relatively higher given our relatively higher shipping costs from overseas markets. We benefited from RMB depreciating against the US dollar in the second quarter. Net foreign exchange gain was $7 million, compared to a net foreign exchange loss of $9 million in Q1. EBITDA was $66 million, compared to $49 million in Q1. Non-GAAP net income was $29.6 million. This translates into non-GAAP diluted earnings per ADS of 70 to 71 cents. Moving to the balance sheet, at the end of Q2, we increased our balance of cash equivalents to $543 million, compared to $486 million at the end of Q1. The restricted cash balance was $158 million at the end of Q2, compared to $164 million at the end of Q1. We continue to improve our operating efficiency. Accounts receivable was $809 million, down from $872 million at the end of Q1. AR turnover days improved to 76 days in Q2, compared to 94 days in Q1. Inventory balance was flat at $966 million quarter over quarter. Inventory turnover days reduced to 104 days in the second quarter, compared to 120 days in Q1. Total debt was $1.9 billion, compared to $1.8 billion at the end of Q1, in which $310 million was related to international solar projects. Net debt was $1.2 billion, compared to $1.1 billion at the end of Q1. The increase was due to the issuance of convertible senior notes in the second quarter. This concludes our prepared remarks. We are now happy to take your questions. Operator.
Operator, we're ready to take questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have any questions for your speakers today, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, that's 01 on your telephone keypad now. Your first question is from Philip Shen from Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Abel Ortega. I'm on for Phil today. Hope you guys are doing well. My first question is, from Q1, you thought that 60% of your Q1 shipments were for non-subsidized projects, and as much as 50% of 2019 shipments could be for non-subsidized demand. How much of your Q2 shipments do you believe served unsubsidized markets, and what's your latest view for second half of 2019 and possibly 2020?
I think you are talking about, you know, the market without subsidy, right? Grid parity. And
right, exactly.
I think the trend is there. You know, the solar is becoming more and more competitive, and the most of the regions are reaching to the grid parity markets. And back to your specific questions, if you take China and Japan as subsidy supported markets this year, And we think our shipment quarter by quarter, the shipment to the regions without subsidy increased step by step. And second quarter, roughly 70% to 80%. And looking to next year, China will be the biggest region and to reaching great parities. And this year, we estimate China roughly 10% is projects without subsidy. And next year, and you know, with the you know, with the government policy supported, and you know, and the lower you know system costs, and we believe it's a will be a huge leap next year in China for the projects without subsidy.
Okay, thank you. My next question is, what is your latest view of China demand in Q1 and Q2 for 2020? Have you heard of when the government may release in its next subsidy regime? And what do you think it'll look like?
Yeah, for China market, as we said just now, China market will continue to be strong, not only in the second half of 2019, but also in the 2020. So one part is there will be a lot of projects naturally, you know, continue to construct and try to get a grid connection in the first half of 2020. Meanwhile, there will there are a lot of, let's say, projects in the plan, which is grid parity projects, and to be expected to be constructed by the year of 2020. Regarding the rumors of the new schemes, we have heard several versions of it, but I think we should wait for the official announcement.
Okay, fair enough. And then my last question, I'll pass it on. Last quarter, you mentioned CapEx throughout the year was going to be about $450 million. We calculate about $212 million for the back half of 2019. Can you give me some more color on the CapEx for Q3 and Q4? Thank you.
I think the total CapEx this year, you're right, roughly $450 million US dollars. And we have spent, I think, roughly 50% of the total CapEx, and you know, the remaining part, 50%, will be spread, you know, over third quarter and the fourth quarter. And our capacity, actually, you know, for both mono wafer capacity and per capacity, are in the ramping up stage, and during the third quarter, and expect to generate for you know reach to full operational. You know, output in the fourth quarter.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Brian Lee from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the questions. Maybe just another CapEx one on the back of that last one. So the $450 million of CapEx for 19, it seems like that's intact. Can you give us some sense of, you know, because I think in the prepared remarks you mentioned the 5 gigawatt Leshan facility going up to 16.5. What's the incremental CapEx for that? What's the expected timeline? Is that a first half 2020, you know, capital expenditure plan? And then how much of the capital funding is being subsidized versus is coming off of your balance sheet?
So, Brian, you are talking about, you know, the second phase, 5 gigawatts, our new capacity, right? And we are doing the kickoff, you know, the preparation stage. It's another 5 gigawatts and the mono wafer capacity and making us to reach 16.5 gigawatts. Mono wafer capacity is in the first half year of next year, and you know which will you know help us to support our growth next year. And back to the CapEx for this part, I think it's roughly $150 million, and the funding is from the China-based renewable energy equity fund, and we are working on.
Okay, but what is that fully being funded by that fund that you mentioned? or that 150 portion? I guess maybe just to clarify, the 150 is the gross CapEx, and it's being fully covered by this third party, or maybe you could give us the split.
Okay. It's you know, it's roughly 70%, 80% covered by the equity part, and the remaining part, 20, 30% from the, you know, long-term project loan.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take the rest offline. Maybe shifting gears, a couple of housekeeping questions for you, Charlie. Was there any AD or CBD or other benefits in the second quarter reported gross margin or the 18 to 20% guided gross margin for 3Q?
Okay, that's a good question. And, you know, compared to our peers and Canadian Solar, in the second quarter, they recorded some AD/CVD reversal, you know, subsidy. And we didn't have any, you know, in the second quarter. And we estimate we are going to have some lumber in the third quarter for the AD/CVD. But when we gave the guidance, the 18%, 20%, we didn't consider this part.
Okay, so that's X any benefits. Okay. And then any were there any project sales in the second quarter reported result or any embedded in the third quarter guidance, revenue guidance?
So far, no. And for international projects, you're right, we are working very hard. We are in the process to monetize the international projects. As we disclosed, you know, in my remarks, the total debt included roughly $310 million. The project debt for the four part projects which have we have connected, and we plan to sell two of the four projects in the fourth quarter, and after the completion of sale of the two projects in the fourth quarter, roughly $170 million debt will be get out of the balance sheet. For the remaining two projects, we plan to sell down next year.
What's the two projects for this year? What's the capacity and expected revenue, if you can disclose
that? The two projects, roughly the capacity is 150 megawatts. The two projects in Mexico.
Okay, great. And then maybe just last one from me, and I'll pass it on. I was surprised the operating income increased, you know, like 8% versus Q1 sequentially, despite the much higher shipments and revenue. So I know you had a big increase in EPS this quarter, but it seems a lot had to do with the Forex gain and the income tax benefit and other below the line items. Is that fair? And then what should the income tax be going forward?
You mean the tax benefit, right?
Yeah, the tax benefit. I know you can't, forecast Forex gains.
Sure.
The tax.
Yeah.
The tax line.
Yeah. And for the second quarter, I think it's pretty, good and beating our estimates. And if you look at some, one-off items, we also get hit from the international projects interest rate swap. It's kind of accounting matters because we didn't use the hedge accounting. So, for the interest rate swap. And for the tax, the benefit, it's a one-off item. It's related to the last year, 2018, the R&D additional, income tax, the deductions for our company as a whole. And so we didn't expect, the continued tax benefit in the second half year.
Okay, fair enough. Last one, and I promise to pass it on. The pricing in China, I know you've been saying all year long, like a lot of your peers have, that China is going to be back half-weighted, and it, clearly looks like it's going to play out that way. We noticed that your pricing in China was something in the low 20 cents per watt for mono PERC volume in one of the recent China auctions. I think it was a SPIC. So it seems pretty low, not representing the pricing stability or strength into year-end in China, which I think was your original view. You had talked about maybe even having the ability to raise prices on modules moving through the back half. Can you talk to why you bid so aggressively and, you know, what that might mean for future tenders in 3Q and 4Q pricing-wise in China?
Okay. And firstly, you know, China is a, you know, the developer is very lucky, and because after the third quarter, because of the some kind of more capacity for the perk sale price is down a lot quarter over quarter. But you know, in the previous, you know, the first half year, the price is too high. You know, the perk producers they generate and huge gross profitabilities, and this build a foundation, you know, for a little bit lower, you know, the module price in the China market. And second one is, if you talk about the specific one project, you know, the price. And because if you look at the SOE, you know, they are doing the bidding process. Some of the projects they are planning for the next year. So this price is not purely, you know,
Let me take that one. This is General Brian. So for the pricing in China in general, we believe the Q4 will become stronger than Q3. Q3, I think, will be the low point for the whole year in the second half for the market price. That's about market price. And for the SPIC or other, you know, spot marketplace, I have to say, you know, every player has its unique understanding and a tactic about different customer approach, and they have a different understanding about the project pipeline, construction timelines, together with all the project sites and details. I think that's kind of a commercial confidential, so we cannot disclose too much. But for us, we do not see such prices only for 2019, but it will continue as a very big fundamental pipeline for 2020 as well.
Okay. I appreciate the additional color. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions for your speakers today, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, that's 01 on your telephone keypad now. Your next question is from Mahib from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking your questions. Just on the polysilicon cost structure, could you just talk about like what was the polysilicon cost in the quarter and what the expectations for Q3 and Q4? Just trying to triangulate, like seeing the latest news in China that the polysilicon cost might go up. So trying to see like what are you seeing at your end for that cost structure?
Mm-hmm. I think the polysilicon, the spot price reached to the lowest level in second quarter, and they recovered a little bit. And now we believe, you know, it's roughly for the mono-based polysilicon, the price is $9.5 per kilogram. And we expect, you know, the price will be stable throughout the year. And the thing is, you know, a lot of producers, they have new capacity came out in the second quarter, but they need, you know, they need more time to produce high quality mono-based polysilicon. And so far we think that the, you know, their production process is on the track. And so in general, we don't believe a big risk, you know, for the polysilicon, the price going down dramatically.
Got it. And just on guidance, as it's definitely a Q4 weighted shipment guidance. Then a lot of it is probably because of China demand, but are you seeing any higher demand from any other regions apart from China in Q4, like demand pull-in in U.S. due to the tax credits or in Europe or other markets?
Yeah, so I think, Mahib, definitely the Q4 demand will be stronger than Q3. Not only China demand is kicking in, but also, like you mentioned, U.S. demand definitely is there. But it's a problem of short of supply. And also, as you know, other markets such as you know Japan, India, the market demand is still there.
Got it. And so how do you see the demand shaping up in say the first half of 2020 or the full year of next year? Just trying to understand your visibility for demand into the next year, especially given your wafer capacity expansion plans.
For the market demand side, we believe that the year of 2020 will continue to grow compared with 2019, and it's still a healthy global demand. If we look into the, let's say, the key markets such as China, US, Europe, even India, Japan, the market demand is, all of their market demand in 2020 will be higher than 2019. So I think that's a fundamental growth for the whole industry and a very important reason why we are so confident about our expansion plan. Meanwhile, you know, the customer end side, you know, we continue to be sold out for several months till now. So we believe, you know, we have a very good market demand for the future.
Got it. And just on the you know all the new technologies which you spoke about on the call on the thin films, one bifacial, larger mono wafer sizes. So apart from the wafer capacity expansion, can you talk about which of these technologies would you be replicating across your capacity, across your supply? And I'm just trying to understand, like, how should we think about the CapEx for, say, going to bifacial or other technologies in 2020?
So I think from the market demand point of view, we, or let's say marketing strategy point, we will continue to promote and launch our next generation of the products, which should be very attractive and very competitive in the market. I think we are planning to launch it soon. Meanwhile, all the products from Jinko's side, even for the whole industry, we believe the efficiency will continue to increase. The cost structure side will decrease, even diluted by the higher efficiency of the products. I think that's a roadmap followed by the whole industry. We will continue to contribute to the grid parity with more and more competitive LCOE costs all over the world.
All right. Those are the most questions from me. Thanks for taking the questions.
Thank you.
Once again, if you have any questions for your speakers today, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, that's 01 on your telephone keypad now. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may all now disconnect.